This is October 26, 2020. This is our Monday night wild card night. And can you guys all hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna mute the phone lines and turn off the things, okay?
Yeah, well, hang on.
Just... Muted.
Oh, well.
Are you good?
Well, I wanted to ask everybody something.
Okay.
So,
you ask the question and I will unmute.
All right. Due to popular demand, you know, we did last week, Lauren, and then we did a couple of weeks ago, Lauren. And what I saw tonight was...
Unmuted.
Usually I give Lauren a long introduction. And everybody said, Wynn, shut up and give Lauren more time.
Right.
Is that okay? And if we don't have anybody new on the line, which we probably don't, do we have anyone new tonight?
No.
No.
All young, old folks.
What I thought I would do is turn it over. Lauren, are you there?
Oh.
depending on how you look at it. When you are breathing in your mic still, now and then, beware.
Okay. Am I okay? Am I loud enough?
Yes.
Okay. Is that okay right now?
Yes.
Okay. So I thought what we'd try tonight is just have an open agenda and have people ask Lauren questions. How would you guys like that?
That means yes.
Sure.
Because nobody knows what to ask, so you need to get the fire started.
We have
Is
to get the
okay,
fire
Lauren?
Started.
Everybody thought they were still muted.
Lauren.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, is I have to call back that, in on another line.
Okay. Did you hear what I said?
No.
Okay. Well, I just told people, due to popular demand, we're just going to do a open
mic.
Open mic with you, but we'll mute people while you're answering. We'll run the mute button so that we don't get spurious sounds in the background. And I said, is that okay with Lauren? And, of course, you weren't here to answer.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now, you know, if Lauren starts losing it, I'm going to butt in and take over, okay, and help.
Then
all
it's
right?
Not that Lauren has started losing it, it's we are starting losing it.
Well,
yeah.
We are starting to lose it. Lauren, is there anything you'd like to just say as an introduction to this?
Oh, it came up a couple times in the past, you know, where you were introducing me and stuff, and I just want to make it clear that, I've had quite a few experiences and a lot of different subjects and stuff. But I'm primarily self-educated, and occasionally I have a client that required to have a degree, so I go out and get a diploma degree for it, and to make them happy. But no formal degrees.
Okay, I said he's a PhD, and
I can walk the talk, in other words.
You could probably fool most PhDs, okay? But in any
well,
I've done
classes, you know, graduate study stuff for people on PhD programs and also PhDs in different
mm-hmm.
subjects. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's important to this group. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Unless somebody wants to hire you.
Unless somebody wants to hire you.
Well,
he's probably got enough credentials that if he actually looked for a job, he'd find one.
Well, all my business was in the past was via word of mouth as a troubleshooter
mm-hmm.
and the designer.
Yeah.
May I ask the first question?
Well, we haven't started yet.
Okay.
But you may, but just a moment. Lauren, is there anything else you want to say? Is there any line of topics that you would like to suggest that you would be good answering?
Well, there are some subjects that are very difficult to answer without some sort of visual aids, because
mm-hmm.
it can get technical. I mean, it's very easy to understand, but somewhat difficult to describe. You know, for people to grasp, technically speaking,
mm-hmm.
like in terms of molecular activity. Submolecular activity and the nuts and bolts of that, like when you're dealing with structured water phenomena,
mm-hmm.
I would say
you have expertise in water, right? Structured water,
amongst other things, yeah.
You have expertise in frequency healing.
Yeah.
And you have expertise in quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
And you probably have expertise in things that I don't know about. You have expertise in healing. You know, when I talk to Lauren, and I mention something, he knows, he's been browsing the internet and finding all kinds of things that even I don't know about. And then he's made his own substances or altered existing substances by applying magnetic fields to them, I think. And
amongst other things,
amongst other things. And cause them to work better, okay? So, if people said, "I have diabetes," what would you recommend? You might have an answer, right?
Yeah.
So, you can have all those kinds of topics, but if he gets on a roll on a certain topic, then next question can be on the same topic. And I might intervene if I think he's talking over everybody's head and say, "Lauren, could you explain that better?" Okay? Is that okay, Lauren?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Not better, but more simply.
Well, that's what I meant. Okay.
Well, unless you're Hawaiian, mo beta.
No beta.
Now somebody has to criticize me for not saying things clearly, right? That's okay. You know, I can say that Lauren doesn't have ego. He really cares about people. I've seen him do amazing things for other people that, in fact, he's one of those people that it's vitally important for him to care about people in a high way, because otherwise he probably doesn't belong here. It's why he's here, to express care. But he does it in his way with his expertise and his knowledge. And on that note, I'm going to shut up, and Heise can ask his first question, and we'll just let it roll. Okay? Okay.
Sure. Ma.
Yes. Lauren, what I would like to ask you is, from all the things that you have studied and have been involved with, what is the most interesting to you that you have the deepest interest in doing further research?
That's a good question. It's actually has there's a number of things. It's not just one thing, but ironically, you know, we get involved with the Elohim and the Ra group and stuff, and to me, they're like buddies, whether I was familiar with them before or not. You know, there's other groups and stuff that I've become familiar with, that are non-human, non-ET, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at them as like buddies. And
you're talking about non-physical beings, right?
Yeah, physical and non-physical, and okay. But primarily non-physical here. So I like to get personally familiar with them, and because there are cultural differences between races of beings,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
groups. Just like if you're going to a foreign country, different customs, and everybody's uniquely different as individuals. So it's not like you met one, you met them all. There are unique differences between beings and such. And likewise, the different races. There are races of beings, and oftentimes they're not even in contact with each other, and other times they are. So I just like I like getting in touch with them. I'm a pioneering explorer in life, and I really get off on and new acquaintances and swapping notes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really like exploration and by itself, you know, exploring things, especially things that nobody in history is either known or recorded or non-recorded history have gone into, that have explored, because there's a huge difference between one's reality and what's actual.
I was going to ask the question. That when you're connecting with these other beings, are they energy beings, or are they beings with bodies in a higher dimension, or
they
both?
They can be either, and when you get very rarefied, beings from outside of creation, it has nothing to do with energy. That energy is not even involved. Which is quite amazing. There's an amazing difference between beings who are part of this or other universes. There's a number of universes. They're not unlimited,
mm-hmm.
contrary to popular belief. And
right.
there's a finite number, and the so beings from outside of creation. You can't identify them by their an energy signature. Like everybody has a different personality, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can identify a person by their personality, and
mm-hmm.
that's an energetic affair. However, with these beings from outside, you throw away the book because it's not going to happen because they're not energy forms. They're not. It's not there, so it's just direct contact.
What are they now if they're not energy forms?
They're creator beings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is it a back and forth communication that you can ask questions, get answers?
Pardon me?
Is it like a back and forth communication, questions and answers? That you can have with those beings?
You can, but at just the moment you pose the question, you've got the answer, and the key is to discern between what they're putting out and what you're putting out that's reflected back to you,
mm-hmm.
and what anybody else might be putting out mm-hmm. is acting kind of like an interference pattern.
Mm-hmm.
How do you meet them?
Wow.
Usually, something happens, and it's like a chain reaction of events. I mean, I can just go exploring, all right? Go exploring on for instance, the second realm. So you go exploring the second realm, and that's like the Elohim, okay? And the, I'll track something going on there, and it's like instead of necessarily posing a question, you can also pose an answer, okay? Because you can have a multitude of questions for one answer.
Wow!
You can have a million questions for one answer. So you can put out an answer and see who responds to it. And then you can follow that through and see who actually was the original creator of that answer. And the source on that, and the of that independent creation that had no basis for that answer. I mean, that answer was the unique unto itself. It's so unique, you know. It was never in existence before, and never a question for that particular answer existed before. It was just a spontaneous creation. Hi.
Wow.
And contact. We got, you know, this is you did a damn good job on this one, you know. And did that answer the question?
Definitely. That's a great expansive answer.
Yeah.
I just want to. Yeah, I would have more questions, but who's next? Anyone else have a question? Go ahead.
I have a question. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around the idea of beings outside of creation. What does that mean exactly?
Okay. Now I'm going to throw a little loop here, all right?
Okay.
Is that We all have a frank, a viewpoint and a point of view on things, mm-hmm. and that's our reality. So we're looking at through through this rose-colored glasses, so to speak, based on belief structures, based on built up realities, opinions, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Blah 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 blah. And the so it's kind of like one-sided, and we're kind of like each of us are kind of like learning, expanding beyond our own limitations, so to speak. And I'll give you a little illustration here. This, of course, came from from real life. There, a Tibetan thing, and this Buddhist monk is walking up this path in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains, and. And at the top there is a like a saddle there, and the coming over that saddle and coming and walking down that same path is this Buddhist priest, and this Buddhist monk goes, "Oh gosh, a Buddhist priest! Wow, as they approach each other, the Buddhist monk says. He points to this rock, on the very side of the path, between them, and he says, "Does that rock exist because I'm creating it, or because it's actually there?" Mm-hmm. And the Buddhist priest, without losing stride, reaches down, picks up that rock, throws it at the Buddhist monk, hits him square in the middle of the forehead, knocks him out cold, and continues to walk on.
So essentially it's a result of us looking through everything from our own personal filters, so to speak.
Yeah. And it's not only your own personal filters, you're seeing it through other people's perspectives too. We're interrelating. So the answer to that incident is that both are true.
Hmm. Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Not one or the other. Both are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're co-creating this, our experiences, and we each have our individual viewpoint on it. And it's dealing with energy structures, form, color, sound, light. These different phenomena, which are all in motion, and the key is to how to be able to sort out the difference between what you're creating to what other people are creating, and then working the interrelationships between these sources. Okay, because you're working something out, somebody else is trying to work something out too, and it's much more fun if you're co-creating working things out together,
mm-hmm.
even though
mm-hmm.
you may be completely alien to each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
And you can take one person can say, "Oh, that other guy is real evil. They're very dark." Yeah, well, guess what? Take it from their viewpoint. they're thinking something of a similar kind with regards to you too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of working out these differences. Not as a solution to a problem. When you have a conflict between two things, two beings, etc., that can be a result in forces counteracting each other. But between that, though, is kind of a paradox, which is the subject of one of the primary subjects of resonant field theory. I'm the author of that, and the since my youth. And the, any rate, the so the mind is trying to work. It's a tool. It's all it is a tool, and it's part of the physical universe.
Mm-hmm.
You're just manipulating the part of the physical universe, and that's your mind, your own little segment. And the it has matter, it has energy, it has space involved, it has motion, which you equate to time, in intentions and stuff. It's a record. It's a living record that you that you're involved in. That's actually part of the physical universe.
Wow. Thank you. That's given me a lot to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
So there are beings that outside that, not part of that.
Wow. That's me.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You were speaking about I don't know if I'm phrasing this right, the spinning being, what did you call it? Would you call it a basic energy force or what?
Whether the Elohim or myself are talking about spinning or.
Yeah. I have a question about that, but is that what you call
it?
Like, am I correct?
Yeah, there's
basic energy.
Yeah, it's technically speaking, you may call it a torsion field.
A torsion field. Okay, because.
But in layman's terms, you can call it like a vortex something that's rotating, and it can either be self-contained or it can be interrelating with others.
Okay, I'm a little bit. I'd like a little clarity, if I can. How does the Taurus fit in? Because I've been reading and I've heard really advanced researchers on that the Taurus, the donut shape, is a fundamental energy source. In all of creation, starting from, I think an atom or and the human energy field is in a toroidal shape. So is the apple in a toroidal shape?
Yeah,
and I think galaxies are.
I think I got you here. I understand what you're driving at here. It's not the only fundamental shape.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's
Does
not the only fundamental
the
motion. There are for each of the realms from outside creation.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them has a particular orientation to a shape, like a sphere, for instance,
mm-hmm.
A toroid or torus shape, like a donut. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's wrapping, and it in that case, it's wrapping around itself. And the inside becomes the outside, the outside becomes the inside.
And there's a tunnel in the middle, right?
Yeah, and there's actually something that comes. If you have a torus, if you have a one of these energy fields, that it may or may not have force involved. Okay, let's just say. Let's say you have this field that's falling within itself, forming a shape like a torus. Well, you also have right down and it's laying out in front of you. Okay, so it's horizontal. Now, vertically, right through the center, going up and going through it, and going downwards. Is an inverse of a torus. And so
you mean like a double torus?
It's like a little field that comes up through from the center, goes up through and it twists, it curls. and it goes way out. Have you ever seen any photographs of a galaxy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially the, around the core of a galaxy. You'll notice a perpendicular to, right, coming right up through the center, you see this a little cord going going up and out, outwards, through the top and through the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. That's basically energy and matter being transformed from one form into another, and so it can stay in equilibrium. Well, that those fans that are coming out of there are predominantly like a gamma and cosmic, some cosmic, but mostly gamma and X-ray, real high intensity. And now that can form with a torus, but a black hole, for instance, is not a torus.
Mm-hmm.
Typically,
what is it?
It can be, but it's typically spherical.
Ooh,
and or quasi spherical, like spherical type. You know, it's somewhat of an ellipse. And
I've heard also that a lot of these anti-gravity devices or zero-point energy devices that have been created but are being suppressed are also, I don't know about always, but there's a lot of them that create a toroidal field.
Yeah, it depends on the system that's being used, the method that's being used. For instance, you're taking advantage of magnetic fields and forces. Oftentimes that could be like a toroidal shape where you have something, you have a going around the ring of a UFO. It's circular. It's like your typical UFO in a pancake type,
mm-hmm.
disc type
mm-hmm.
shape.
Mm-hmm.
Near the edge of that disc, you can have something like a form of mercury, for instance, a specific isotope of mercury with other isotopes of real heavy metals that we don't like element number 103 or something like that, 118, 116, intermixed with that. And
that they found among crashed UFOs. I think I've heard that element something.
I would presume so. And they spin this at high velocity, and as it's spinning, it's also forming it's spinning around in the circle, okay? But it's also spinning around angularly, like a corkscrew going all the way around, and the corkscrew is in a circle.
The spiral. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it'll flip in one direction, twisting like clockwise, and then go counterclockwise, and they in terms of that, the helix, okay, and it'll straighten out, and you can do all sorts of neat little things with that just by manipulating the magnetic field transducers. Transducer just means it converts device that converts energy from one form into another form, like a like electrical energy into a light, for instance, or electrical energy into sound, or sound energy into electrical energy, like microphone or speaker. So those transducers can be placed around there, placed around that, and it's kind of like a little bottle, and they can change the rate of spin on the thing, and the rate of rotation on it, a number of different things. And this little craft is going to get you can control the movement of the craft by doing that. And it can appear to be anti-gravity, but it's not really anti-gravity. It's forming its own field, its own gravity. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason it can go make right angle turns and stuff, which is really funny to watch.
Yeah.
Well,
then you have the electric field that can go perpendicular to that magnetic field, so that can provide lift.
Wow.
So you can have on the top side of this disc, you can have a like positively charged, on the bottom side a negatively charged, and it's real high voltage, by the way. And the while this magnetic thing is spinning around. And this thing is going to take off like you charge one side greater than the other side, and this thing is going to go up very fast or go down very fast. Like say for instance 27,000 miles per hour.
So you say the toroidal form is only one basic, what would you call it?
Yeah, one of five
form.
Yeah.
There's
five altogether of these original.
Five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of these original forms. And
the toroid is one of them.
The toroid is one of them. So when they're talking about everything's toroid, hey, we're talking about research at its infancy. They haven't found out, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye, because scientists and individuals generally think that there's only one prime mover, and in other words, in physics, call it a singularity. Okay. I think it was only one singularity. I mean, whereas there's more than one, and that's the reason why things are so different, or you know, why everything's not uniform. Like everything's not organized. There's disorganization, and you get conflicts going on between people. There's the forces that interact with each other, and oftentimes unpredictably. No. There's always a reason. There's got to be some reason for this, and the mind can't grasp that. Coming up with answers to this for every problem there's an answer to that. There's an answer to that, and it'll go through lifetimes trying to come up with an answer to an unsolvable problem. There is no such thing as an unsolvable problem. Oh yes, there are. There's a lot of them. How come? There's more than one singularity involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a duality where you have two singularities. It's, you know, you've got five of them.
Can I ask a related?
They're all different with a few commonalities to it. So in mathematics, we call it
I've got a related question. Can I ask?
Variable. If you got Yeah, basically five independent. Actually, turns out to be more than five, but five independent variables and a couple dependent variables involved. There are some commonalities between them, but they're very rare.
Lauren, what is the energy field, the overall energy field of a human being like? I mean, we discussed chakras, but chakra would just be spinning energy. It's just part of it. Is there like an overall energy field?
You can look at it this way. I do. I don't always see it this way because I'm getting involved in nuts and bolts and stuff. But when I'm working with somebody, imagine a flower. It's multicolored, and it's kind of like a a kid's toy. You know, you look through it, and it comes out with these different shapes and colors and stuff. A kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope. Yeah.
Now imagine what you're looking at through the kaleidoscope. These different colors and shapes that are forming. You're seeing that in two dimensions.
Right.
And now translate that into three dimensions. And in three dimensions, it turns out to be a kind of a spiral that's going up. And and it's a flower, just like a plant you would have, a flower.
Mm-hmm.
They have different shapes and different colors and to it, and different fragrances to it, different sound to it, forms of light to it, and different forms of electrical and magnetic fields to it. That were the intersections are what we call in the human body. And it goes outside the human body is this flower, and it and they call it the center core part of that you call it kundalini, but it's a spiral going out like Buddhists put this mandala together. Well, mandala is a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional thing that actually exists.
Oh. Wow.
They're representing in sand, in colored sand, that is two-dimensional. And the reason why, as soon as they got done constructing it, and that's like what's going to be happening the next year, they're patterning that out. Tuning in and patterning out what's going to be happening next year, and then they'll mm-hmm. destroy it because they don't want to fix reality.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is always in motion. It's always subject to change. Always subject mm-hmm. to our input. Why fixate mm-hmm. things?
Wow.
Experience it. So, when you're looking at some, for instance, you're a healer and like a really competent healer, they'll be seeing this and they'll see these petals. One's twisted, warped out, one's brown, turned brown when it should be nice and dazzling crimson or something like that, and with these, with white through it and such, and all flowered out really nice, but it gets distorted. They can tell you exactly what's going on with what organs are in your body and what energy fields your first three, four fields of the body, what's going on with it and how to straighten it out. And you do the and that healer is not doing it to you; he's doing it with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's just kind of like a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And and saying, oh, I just check this, check this out. It may not be on a conscious level, but, you know, let's check this out. And you're, okay. And you go, oh, gee, that feels good. Okay. I can work with that.
Wow. I have a question.
Yeah.
You brought up about the UFOs and so forth earlier. Have you heard of Otis Carr and what was done in the 1950s and Ralph Ring associated with him?
No. Yeah, Otis, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I was just wondering if you are privy to seeing ships in the sky or whatever, solid ships.
Around here it's overcast so much you don't see very much of it at all. But if you're like in Southern California, for instance, where I was living before. When I was living in Joshua Tree, he'd go out any night that was clear, relatively clear sky, and you can see at least six stars, like nice bright stars scattered around the sky, and you watch it, and next thing you know, it goes in a straight line, instantly, and then. It instantly stop in another place in the sky.
Was there any communication between you and them at the time?
Depending. But the ones I just described, you can look up in the sky, and you'll see it looks like a bright star, but it's not really a star.
Right.
It looks like a bright star, and you can see on one side of it. It'll sort of like flash in, a fade in blue. Then it'll go out. Then it'll flash in red, and then it'll go out. And then flash in as you go, in different segments of that. And then white, and then flash out. And you just keep on doing that. Pink, but it looks like a twinkling star, okay? Well, those are running lights. Those are aircraft gunning lights. We're talking about not ET UFOs. We're talking about the military space command UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Then you get,
thank you.
And that's probably around 90% of UFO sightings are the. Or what's going on with Space Command.
Right.
Then you get the really authentic ones where you see this Pillsbury doughboy pancakes, clouds staying stationary, and they're reaching up up into the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren, we got to go.
Will you be back next week? Thank you so much, Lauren, and everyone for being here. We're going to move over to Whole Planet Healing. Let me see if we're still on BBS. So, BBS, folks, if you want to join in with us for a conference call, you can do so. The number is 712-770-4340, and the access code is 250-513#. You can find this number also at www.wholeplanethealing.com. WHO. Hope to see you there. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
we're gonna
Lauren.
Knock it off.
Hey,
Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
Lauren.
Yeah.
I think you did really good. They like you better than me.
Oh shit! Okay.
All right.
No, it's a good change of pace. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see you at Whole Planet Healing.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, everyone.